Mother Teresa who said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. It's important for us to realize as we're completing this month of self-awareness is not enough. And today's topic is radical compassion. It is important that we don't stress ourselves out with how much we have to do to make a difference in the world. And we better get in, we better hurry because things are a mess. How about every intention be filled with love? Every small intention to make a difference in our own or someone else's life is important because ultimately the tide must turn. So we continue to do our important part. There really is a deep desire within all of humanity, no matter how it might look at times, to bring presence to others. There is a deep desire within every human heart to do good, to connect lovingly with people, to play nice. It's there. Sometimes it's hard to see it. And I know as we're all doing our individual work, and we must. I do my individual work every day, and I know that you do too. And then we do it together and we support each other. But it isn't always easy, is it? You know, like the Peanuts cartoon years ago, I guess it must have been Lucy. I'm sure it was Lucy, who said, I love all of humankind. It's just people I can't stand. And we sometimes run up against somebody who pushes our buttons. I remember we were in a class some time ago, a mother and son here, and we talked about buttons being pushed, and he said, well, she installed them. Oh, yes, you did. But, you know, as my beloved teacher, Earl Barnum, otherwise affectionately known as Barney, would say, friction polishes. Friction polishes. So if we are having a little bit of a frictional moment, let's realize that can smooth off those rough edges, and we all have them. But I can remember back to a time that I really was having a challenge with one particular person, and this was in, believe it or not, a spiritual community. It happens, even in the best of families. And so I really worked within myself, because I was getting this at me all the time, it seemed. And I don't like to do that because I begin to feel like a victim, and I'm not. So I was working within to see the beloved within her. And I was doing very well. The behaviors were odious. But that beautiful being was a beautiful being created by God. There's no exceptions. And ultimately, I saw her one day inadvertently in an elevator, and I was so grateful for the work I had done because I just saw love. And there was not a word, but just a beautiful exchange of love. Isn't it nice to have this sense of anybody with whom you may have had a disagreement, a fuss, or worse, to be able to have that person, when he or she occurs to you, to have harmless passage through your mind. No reaction, no more buttons. Now, until we learn to do this one-on-one with the people that we love or the people that we are acquainted with, the people we work with, oh, the people we live with, until we learn to do it one-on-one, how are we going to do it in our community and in the whole world? I can't go beyond my current understanding and my current intention and my current willingness. And doesn't it take willingness? Not willpower, but willingness to open my heart and see things differently. And we do it one step at a time. And you've heard me say, we can take baby steps and keep in mind that baby steps are a big deal to the baby. One step, fall down, get up. And usually we don't even hear that little one fuss about it. Just like, whoops, and go on. So the baby steps toward embracing others is essential. One at a time, moving forward, and then maybe backward, and then forward again. Becoming aware of things within ourselves that we need to heal about other people. Because guess what? Whatever we may be judging about another person, we wouldn't even be aware of if it didn't dwell somewhere within us. Hello? Oh, boy, really? Do I have to accept that? Only if you want more peace in your world, in our world. Only if we want more and deeper understanding and appreciation for each other. Yeah, then we need to. I know I need to. It's not always comfortable to grow in this way, is it? Sometimes we have to give up our biases and our opinions, our very strong opinions, and what we've always believed because that's what our parents told us and our grandparents told us, and no, it's time for us to break the chain. It's time for us to see with new eyes. It's time for us to bring more of God's love out into the world, one at a time, and then more, and then more. We've got to stretch. We learn to turn criticism into compassion. Anytime I notice myself beginning to judge or inwardly have a negative opinion, until I remember to go straight to compassion, I'm going to continue to be unhappy and ugly. I'm ugly when I criticize, even when I don't say a word. I know that. Look at your face in the mirror sometime when you're feeling something really negative about another person. You're not pretty anymore. So it's important for us to catch ourselves. I know it's important for me to do that. We want to embark on an uncompromising determination to be what? The change we wish to see in the world. Now that takes courage, and it takes radical compassion to do that. We need to be radically compassionate with ourselves too. One of the things in all of these beautiful presentations and workshops, and the music was out of this world. Everything this week in Irvine, California. One of the workshops Reverend Mike and I attended was given by a powerful woman who was showing us ways that we could take good care of ourselves. One of the first things that she did was have us take a big sheet of paper and write down everything on there that we expect ourselves to do this week. I had to turn mine over. Most people did. And then she asked, well, what did you learn from that? People were putting up their hands. I didn't, because finally someone else put up the hand that I was going to put up, which was, not one person can do all that. Let's be radically compassionate with ourselves and find ways to prioritize, find ways to decide what really makes our heart sing that we wish to do, and perhaps put the others on a different list, like, I will do this today, I will do this next week, and I will do this never. What, that was a whole new concept for me, and I will do this never. Isn't that an amazing thought? Sometimes we feel as though we're pushed and shoved and expected. We have expectations that other people have expectations of us. We're the ones with the expectations. I want to be more compassionate with myself. It's not always easy to do that with ourselves or with others, and yet it's possible. Be kind. And it's always possible. I love that. I want to invite unconditional love and understanding to come forward. I want to see the face of God within every person that I see. It's very easy to do that here. Is it always easy to do that out there? We can learn to, because it's always there. There's one life, it is God's life. There's no other life there is to have or to be. That life is your life and my life now. That means it's the life of every person that we meet. And that's the truth within, no matter what the external behaviors may be. Soon as we become willing and intentional in remembering that, we begin to be the change that we have been talking about seeing in the world. His Holiness the Dalai Lama says, if you want others to be happy, start up, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. There's a couple who do nonviolent communications, and they call their work radical compassion. It's Jim and Jory Mansky. They say, we envision creating a world where everyone wants to belong, one piece, P-E-A-C-E, at a time. A world where people are contributing to the well-being of each other in mutually satisfying ways. We integrate presence, empathy, and authenticity. Connect more fully with ourselves and others, building resources for contributing to life. Do you know that we can't really be happy if we are not making some kind of contribution to life? And we can be in a large arena. It was great fun speaking to 400 people this past week. It was even greater fun to be listening to the rest of them. We can make a difference in a large arena. We can make a difference just where we're sitting right now. And you know that meditators have made powerful changes, created powerful changes in communities where there have been horrible things happening. This happened many, many years ago when I was still in Southern California. The meditators came into Watts. The meditators went into Dublin. And the consciousness shifts. Things settle down. There's real energy that we can move for the good, no matter where we are. And the Buddhists who sit in their temples and almost never leave, and the Cistercian monks who almost never leave, are at work making this world a better place. And you and I in our meditation, whether we're with the group in the meditation room before our celebration at 10, whether we're at home, whether we're coming to the Wednesday noon, there's a pitch for you. We're making a difference not only for ourselves, but we are making a difference in the world, and it's important that we remember that. Small things with great love. Because we can have what we have come to know as compassion fatigue when we are trying too hard to get out there and do too many things and make the world a better place. Sit still for a minute. Feel the divine presence loving you so that you can feel the divine presence within you loving others. I want to tell you about Rosie's Garage. It was not long after Rose Espinoza and her husband Eliasar moved into their first home in Brea, California, in 1991. They started wondering if they'd made a huge mistake. They said, boys with baseball bats hung out on the corners and they were not looking for a pickup game. And that was the 65-year-old electromechanical designer, the father, who was remembering this. He said, after a drive-by shooting on our street, we started to really worry about the safety of our 8-year-old son, Chris. I thought, what have we gotten our family into? The Espinozas initiated a neighborhood watch group, but the morning after the first meeting, a clear message was spray-painted on their truck. Don't finger us, keep your mouth shut. Rose knew she had to take a different approach to the problem, so she went directly to the root. In September 1991, she transformed her two-car garage into a free after-school K-12 tutoring program, Rosie's Garage, complete with computers, books, and banners for the kids who made the honor roll. We started by offering homework help and free lemonade, and 16 kids showed up the very first day, recalls Espinoza, who recruited high school students with solid grades as tutors. This was the first tutoring program in the neighborhood, and it was clear that these kids really did want to learn. Rosie's Garage literally transformed the Espinoza's neighborhood. Within 2 years, academic scores went up and the crime rate went down. And it's such a great idea that it is spreading now to 4 sites, 1 in Brea and 3 in the neighboring towns of Santa Ana and La Habra, that have served about 200 children at any given time. That's radical compassion, wouldn't you say? See, we can't fight the fire with fire, or we all get burned up, right? So we have to find another way, and that involves getting quiet enough to remember who we are and to remember who every other beautiful sentient being is. And when we do, we're given all kinds of beautiful inspiration. People in this community are doing wonderful things to make a difference. We do it in our own families, in our own workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and then we allow ourselves to be inspired to keep lighting those candles. It's better to light just one little candle than to stumble in the dark, right? I feel another song coming on. We are the light that needs to keep shining more brightly. And when we join it with other people's light, that which is unlike the light disappears. It just disappears. Meister Eckhart said, "You may call God love, you may call God goodness, but the best name for God is compassion." So what can you and I do to bring radical compassion to ourselves? What can we do to bring it to our families, to our neighborhoods, and ultimately to our world? Well, let's open to the divine inspiration that would love to tell us the answers to these questions. Let's just sit still in serenity each day long enough to ask the question, and then to keep our eyes open so that when we see something we can do, we can do it. When I was going to school at UC Berkeley many years ago, I would take a walk at break at lunchtime down Telegraph Avenue, down one of those fun little places, and there were always, we didn't have street people there. They were called outdoorsmen. And there was one lady who was sitting with her dog. She was blind, and she was sitting with her dog and had her little bowl asking for money when people could give it to her. And I never made any decisions about what to do. I just was guided by the moment. And in that case, she was outside the shop where I was going in to get my soup and sandwich, and I got an extra sandwich. I came out, and I said, "I got too much food. Can you help me?" And she said, "Sure." So I sat down with her as she and I ate, and she gave some to her dog. And it was a moment of real divine human connection. It wasn't just, "Here, let me throw something at you." It was, "Let me be with you. Let me see your divinity and your humanity. Let's just be together." Those are the kinds of things. Keep our eyes open to what we can do, what we're guided to do. So let's open our hearts and let's keep our eyes open and let's quietly and genuinely ask ourselves each day, what is mine to do? What is mine to do? I can't do all those things. I've got two pieces, both sides of my paper filled up. What is mine to do? What can I bring my passion to so that my passion is compassionate and my compassion is passionate? I want to get radical with you. Can we do that? I thought so. So let's look around the room right now with eyes of compassion. See the beautiful people who are here. As Longfellow said, what the world needs now If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we would find in each person's story enough suffering and sorrow there to disarm all hostilities. We don't know what's happened in that person's day. We don't know what happened in that person's life. But we do know the most important thing of all. We can feel or even say, Namaste. The divinity within me celebrates, salutes, and honors the divinity within you. We can always do that. Look around the room. See what you see. See the divinity looking back at you. See the compassion. See the love. See the joy. See the wisdom. See God in them, because it's true. And now say with me, please, I come from the center of love. I come from the heart of compassion. I come from the well of wisdom. I do my important part to bring heaven to earth. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.